Hello, everyone. I'm Azmir Begovic, and welcome to another episode of my podcast, The Season of Sports. I'm super excited about this episode. This week, we're talking National Hockey League playoffs with my good friend Sean McIndoe, and we'll be talking London Marathon with James Cracknell, who on the 23rd of April will be running in his fifth London Marathon. We're also going to get into the social media huddle to finish the show. Within that, I want to introduce my brilliant producer, Rachel. How are you?
Nearly a question about that. I'm great, Azmir. I'm excited about today because you're on your Oilers shirt. You're ready to talk hockey. I don't know much about hockey, and this is like a big sport for you, so going to be good.
Listen, we talked baseball on the last show, so we're talking hockey playoffs this time around. So it's a beautiful time of year. Two of my favorite sports heading into very exciting times, so it's a great time to be a sports fan. This episode of Season of Sports is brought to you in partnership with GreatSave.com, the goalkeeping experts. Use the promo code #AB1 to get 15% off all Cell's Elite Aqua Gloves. Before we get into my guests and talk about two main topics, I want to get across some of my thoughts from the world of sports in the last couple of weeks. And I'm going to start, obviously, with the Masters, which we covered on our last show. My pick was Phil Mickelson. Fortunately, he was nowhere near, but Sergio Garcia ended up winning his first major, and fair play to him. Huge congratulations. He beat Justin Rose on the first playoff hole. It was a fantastic tournament. Exciting as always. Always goes down to the very end, and it was great to see him win, get that monkey off his back, and hopefully it'll lead to some more going forward. And the next one is, we've obviously talked March Madness, college basketball, the main playoffs, NCAA playoffs, the March Madness tournament, which happens every year. And we had the winner.
You're pretty good at predicting, right?
Yeah, we had ESPN's own Jeff Borzello on the show. He picked UCLA. I picked University of North Carolina, and they ended up winning it. Deserved winners, the best overall team all year. So
sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff. And 1-0 to the Season of Sports. So we're
okay. We're going to keep this tally up. I like that. Yeah.
Good. Keep it going. We won't count the losses, only the wins.
Yeah. It's a good win for the Tar Heels.
Exactly. So that was exciting. A great Final Four as well in Phoenix. And I also want to talk about one of my favorite NFL players, Tony Romo, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, is recently retired. He's moved on to the TV booth. So CBS have offered him a great deal for him to finish his playing career and move on from football, which I find sad. I think he still had something to offer in the NFL.
How old is he?
He's 36.
And what's the kind
36,
of...
36, 37.
How old is an NFL player? Like, how old would you expect him to play to?
I mean, he's a good age. He's had a great career. He was undrafted, so he's, against all odds, reached the top of the top in the NFL, and I think he's done really, really well. He's never been that great quarterback who's won Super Bowls and won lots of playoff games. He's played for Dallas Cowboys, which made him famous, you know, America's team, so... He had a great career, played really well for them, and I think he could have played at least another year, maybe helped a team like the Houston Texans, because they had a really solid base, a good defense, a good coach, and maybe a good quarterback would have made them, you know, Super Bowl contenders. And he decided not to. And I wondered, you know, what it was, because I always think when players and people getting recruited, it's all about showing them the love. So whoever shows you the most love, whoever you feel most attracted to, and shows you the most desire to bring you there, you know, the player or the person will go there. And I think that's what CBS did. And it's funny because I read up on this, and Mike Richt, who's a college football coach, used to be at the University of Georgia, now the University of Miami. And, you know, a journalist asked him, what's the key to recruiting, Mike? And he said, showing kids the love. Because if they feel comfortable with you, if they want to come play for you, then that's where they'll go, no matter what the other schools and what the size of the school is. If they have that connection with you. And I think that's what CBS must have done. They gave Tony a great slot. I think it'll take time for him to be a TV personality. It's not easy to just get off the field.
Has he done this before? Is he any good at it?
He's not really done it before. He speaks well. You can see in interviews and just generally when he does any kind of media business, he speaks well. But it's a different kind of game. You know, Troy Aikman, who was a former Dallas Cowboy quarterback, moved on to Fox Sports, and took him a couple of years to really get into the booth. He had a lot of help with him, and now he's probably the best TV personality the NFL has, and it's great to listen to him. So I think Tony Romo could follow his footsteps, but it will take some time and obviously a lot of practice. So good luck to him. Last but not least, I also wanted to mention which you might have an opinion on, Rachel, is the female snooker player.
Yeah, this Rihanna blew my mind when I found this out. Got the story.
Yeah.
Tell me what it is. Yeah.
So she was trying to become the first ever female player to join the men's draw, the World Championships, and unfortunately she was knocked out in the second qualifying round. But it seemed like an unbelievable achievement to get this far.
Definitely.
And maybe next year or the next couple of years she'll have more luck.
I wonder if how long it's going to take, because as you say, she's not won, and maybe she will. But, you know, that kind of really surprised me, actually. But she's clearly one to watch for next year. Could be really exciting.
Well, absolutely. Good luck to her in the future. Maybe we'll get her on the show one time and she can tell us all about her journey.
I'd love that.
Yeah. So maybe we can make that happen. But good luck to her. And it would be amazing for snooker as well. Some great publicity as well to get a female player playing with the men. And, you know, like I said, well, we'll keep an eye on that one and see what happens. And before we move into hockey and London Marathon talk, I wanted to also mention my charity golf day this summer that I'll be hosting for my foundation, the Asmer Begovic Foundation. We'll be hosting on the 12th of June at Burr Hill Golf Club.
That's my birthday.
No way.
I'm going to come.
So you're going to be the guest of honor.
Yes.
There you go. Well, here's an invite for you.
Thanks, Asmer.
There you go. Put that in your calendar. You know, that'll go to support my foundation. It's the first ever ABF Golf Classic we've hosted, so I'm hoping it'll go well. We've got some great names lined up. John Terry, Jamie Redknapp, Matt Dawson.
Oh, nice.
Kevin Peterson's going to come and play.
Who's going to be the best out of that lineup on the green?
There's some good golfers. I think Jamie is close to scratch. JT plays a very low handicap. KP's also very, very strong. So it won't be me, let's put it that way. So I'll just be there to host and make sure everyone's having a good
time.
Your
predictions seem to work out, so I'm going to hold you to that. You're not going to win.
No, I won't win, so that's a pretty safe bet. But looking forward to the day, and you know, anyone who wants tickets, make sure you contact events@asmerbegovicfoundation.com and they'll give you all the information that you need. So now we move on to the hot topics of the world of sports, ice hockey and London Marathon. I would like to introduce the first guest of our show today, talking all things NHL, Sean McIndoe. Sean's a hockey writer and author of the 100 Greatest Players in NHL History. I'm excited to talk playoffs. It's a beautiful time of year, so it's the NHL playoffs upon us, finally. But before I get into that, the one thing I wanted to cover with you was the NHL's decision to not let NHL players participate in the next Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang in South Korea. Obviously, this is the first time this has happened in 24 years. The NHL Players Association has called this obviously a very disappointing and short-sighted decision. And, you know, what are your thoughts on this? How come this decision was made? As a player myself, as a professional athlete, I couldn't imagine the governing body not letting me play in a major tournament, whether it was the World Cup or the European Championship. So I think from a player's perspective, I can see how this is really disappointing. And, you know, I wanted to get your take on this and see what the real reasons were for this decision.
Yeah, it definitely is disappointing. The players are very unhappy. They all wanted to go. The fans are unhappy. They enjoyed seeing the best players in the world play for Olympic gold. The TV partners aren't happy. The media, I mean, really nobody's happy about it other than the NHL owners who simply decided that they didn't want to go, primarily because they just didn't feel like there was enough direct benefit. They didn't feel like there was enough dollars flowing directly into their pockets from this tournament. And you know, to some extent, you can see that. I mean, this is the IOC we're talking about. They grabbed most of the money for themselves. The league felt like they're sending their players over and risking the health of their players and shutting down their season for a few weeks and weren't getting enough benefit. And you can kind of see where they're coming from there. But at the end of the day, unfortunately, the NHL has just never been a league that really likes to think big. It tends to be very focused on the short term, very focused on the smaller picture. And those 30 owners just didn't feel like I say, there were enough dollars going straight into their pockets.
Well, it's an incredible situation. And, you know, I'm a huge NHL fan and I hate to see the NHL be missing for a year. So hopefully things can get themselves sorted out. I know you say it's a sure thing, so I'm still looking at the positive side and hoping something gets worked out. But let's get into the fun talk. Let's get into talking some playoffs. For my listeners who might not know what the NHL playoffs are, there's 16 teams who have qualified for the playoffs, 8 from the West, 8 from the East. It's 10 weeks of fantastic ice hockey, and the winners of each conference face each other in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and the winner will be decided that way. So it's a great time of year, and I wanted to start with the East, and we'll get to the West and my beloved Oilers after. So we'll start with the Eastern Conference battles.
Asmir is wearing an Oilers t-shirt right now, we should say that.
I am indeed. I am indeed. Listen, wow, I've got right Milan on. Lucic right on the back, and I'm excited because the first time in 10 years, the Oilers have been in the playoffs. So forgive me, guys, if I'm a little bit excited about the Oilers being back in there. So I'm truly excited. And but like I said, we'll start with the East. We'll break down the matchups and then we'll get Sean's pick for the conference at the end. And let's start with the Montreal Canadiens against the New York Rangers. Who do you have in this series and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I've already flip-flopped on this series once. I originally had this as a close series. I picked the Rangers, and then on my own podcast a couple of days ago, my partner in crime basically slapped me upside the head and talked me out of that and convinced me that that Montreal should be the pick. So I've begrudgingly backed off on that, and I'm picking Montreal. This is going to be a good series. They're two real good teams, two real good goaltenders, probably the best goaltending matchup in the first round and in hockey and certainly in today's game as played in the NHL. Goaltending tends to overwhelm everything, and this is two of the best, and it's probably that matchup that's going to decide it. And yeah, I've flip-flopped over to the Montreal side of the column there.
Well, I agree with you. I've got Montreal in seven, so I think they'll get the job done in the seven-game series. I think it's a great series, but it goes down to the goaltending battle. I think Carey Price has an edge over Henrik Lundqvist. Henrik Lundqvist has probably had his worst season in a while. I know he's 35, so maybe these things happen as the age goes on, but I think Carey Price can carry a team all the way to the finals, and that's why I really like the look of Montreal. I think they have a very solid team. I don't like the Rangers' defense. I think that could cause them a lot of problems. So I have Montreal in seven in this one.
I'm with you. That was the exact pick that I ended up making.
Good. So that's a good start. And
one for one.
One for one, exactly. Let's move on to the next one. Let's move on to the Pittsburgh Penguins against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I see this also as a very close series. I have Pittsburgh in seven again. I like the tested teams, the Pittsburgh, obviously the defending champions, Pittsburgh Penguins. So I like experience over a newbie, and this is why I've picked Pittsburgh in this series. What do you think on this one?
Yeah, I've picked Pittsburgh as well. I think I picked them in six, but I'm with you. It's a close series, and it's a fascinating series because just if you just dropped in, if you're not a hockey fan, you just looked at the standings, that what would jump out at you is that this is the best matchup in terms of the quality of the two teams involved. These are both teams that finished, I want to say, in the top four overall in the league standings, but because of some oddities in how the playoff format works, they're facing each other in the first round. So it's a great matchup. But you take a step back and you look at the history, the Pittsburgh Penguins, like you say, defending Stanley Cup champions, they've won four Stanley Cups, best player in the world, Sidney Crosby, there in the roster, a real star-studded roster, and a team that everyone coming into this year expected to be very good and expected to take a real run at defending their championship. Columbus Blue Jackets are a team that nobody thought was going to be anywhere near this level. Most of us didn't pick them to make the playoffs. A lot of us had them pegged to be one of the very worst teams in the league, period. And yet they had a real good season, ran off a 16-game win streak, which is very close to the record at one point. This is in an NHL, like today's NHL, there's so much parity and so much balance. And the fact that they could get close to records that were set back in the day where, you know, one team could load up on all the superstars and just run over everyone. It was really an amazing month that they had. Just about the last team that anyone would have expected. They have a strong roster, but there's nobody on that roster that you'd look at and say, this is a superstar. This is somebody who is can single-handedly win games. They got a real good goaltender, and that's part of it. But just everything came together. The other piece of this is the Columbus Blue Jackets have been around as a franchise since 2000. They have never won a playoff series in the franchise history, period. They've only made the playoffs twice, got swept once, won a couple of games. So we're talking two playoff games won in whatever that is, 17 years now. And they're facing the defending champs. I mean, it's David versus Goliath in every sense other than the standings, which say that this should be pretty close. And I like Pittsburgh better. I think it's a better team. But at the end of the day, as much as I think it'd be a fun story to see Columbus finally go on a bit of a run, I think they've just drawn too tough a matchup, and I'm picking Pittsburgh in six.
Yeah, well, I think Columbus will go as far as Sergei Bobrovsky, obviously one of the best goalies in the league, will take them. But with the offense, Pittsburgh have 282 goals this year. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, on that team, a stud in goal with Matt Murray. I think they get the job done. But before we move on, did you just say that Sidney Crosby is the best player in the league?
I do think he is.
What about my boy Connor McDavid?
In your Oilers shirt, you're not going to be. And I will throw the caveat out there that I do have a vote for the end of season awards. And
you know where this vote needs to go. Come on.
I voted for your boy Connor McDavid for MVP. And I think probably by this time next year, we're not even having the conversation because Connor McDavid is freaking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And is probably the consensus number one guy. But I'm old school. I'm sticking with Sidney for one more playoff run at least.
Yeah. Well. Okay. I forgive you a little bit on that. But as long as we're clear on who the MVP is this year, that's fine. But we'll move on to the next one. This is probably, a lot of people call these maybe the two lesser teams in the playoffs, the two worst teams, Ottawa against Boston. I see this as a pretty one-sided series, 4-1 to Boston for me. I like their experience. What do you think on this one?
I've got Boston. I want to say I said Boston in six. I'm up here in Ottawa, so I see the Senators a fair amount. And they probably are the weakest of the playoff teams. I think there's a good case to be made for that. But this is a team that's been kind of defying the experts and defying the expectations all year long. And they've got some strong goaltending. They've got some timely scoring. I feel like this is the one where we all have to have our upset special, and the Senators do have home ice, so they're considered the favorite, at least technically, in this series. So if you want to pick your upset, the Bruins are the team to pick, and most people seem to be picking them. And I'm with you. I've got Boston as well, but I'll tell you that the Senators, they could surprise a few people, and the Atlantic Division is not a strong division this year. And it's a weak series, but it's not like this is a series where one team's going to win and then just go and get crushed in the next round. Like, there is a path out of this division for whoever wins this series, and I'm picking Boston, but don't sleep quite too much on the Senators there, because this is still a team that maybe has it in them to surprise a few people.
That's interesting. I tend to, in the playoffs, go for the experience factor and the fact that Boston have been there with Krejci, Bergeron, and obviously David Backes joining them this year. I see them going, but we'll see what Ottawa has to offer. Like I said, home ice plays a big factor. Craig Anderson in goal gives them a chance. So let's see what happens there. But I'm with you. I've got Boston to go through on that one. And that moves me on to the last series in the East. And I think we can agree on this one. This could probably be the most one-sided series in this conference. And that's Washington, the best team in the regular season, against the Toronto Maple Leafs. A very young team coming in here. I think this will be a great learning experience from them. Probably a year ahead of where they should be. But I see Washington winning this one, either sweeping Toronto or just going five games.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it pains me to say that a little, because I know you're sitting there in your Oilers.
Yeah, you probably got your Maple Leaf shirt on. I know, but
I don't have my Maple Leaf shirt only because they're all in the laundry getting ready for the next few weeks. Because okay, I'm a diehard Leafs fan.
And you can't wear it in Ottawa either, right? So
there's that piece of it too. The Toronto Maple Leafs, people have to understand, this team has been bad for a long time. They have not made the playoffs in a full season, in a real season that wasn't shortened by a lockout, since 2004. And they have been not particularly close most of the years during that time. Last year, they were dead last. They finished dead last in the entire league, which in today's NHL can be a blessing because it gives you the better odds in the draft lottery, and they won that lottery, and they got a guy named Austin Matthews who's come in and sort of transformed the franchise along with a whole bunch of other rookies. If you've ever you ever played that game where you've got the hose and you sort of pinch it off and then suddenly you open it up and you just let everything flow out at the same moment. That's kind of what the Leafs did with their prospects and their young players. They sort of buried everybody right up until this year and then just dropped everyone into the lineup, which in theory shouldn't really be much of a recipe for success. And yet it worked. Virtually all these guys have overachieved. Virtually all these guys have been better than expected. And the season for the Maple Leafs has just been all sorts of fun. I mean, this is, if you're looking for a fun team to watch, this is the one right here. And they're young and they're good. They're going to be real good in another year or two, but not this year, not with this matchup, because they have run into the team that I think has the very best chance of winning the Stanley Cup, in the Washington Capitals. This is a real good team, top to bottom, just very, very few flaws anywhere in that roster. And I think, as a Leaf fan, the nicest thing I can say about this matchup is the Leafs have made a couple of very big steps this year. They've got a few more to go to get to where they'd be considered an elite team. they're going to get a close-up look at one of those elite teams in the first round of the playoffs, but I'm not convinced they're going to get that look for more than four or five games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, they're running into an absolute powerhouse with the Capitals. Ovechkin playing fantastic this year. He's got a great support team around him, and obviously Braden Holtby in net. So having picked the first-round matchups, which team do you have coming out of the East into the Stanley Cup Finals?
I've got the Washington Capitals, which is you know, typically wouldn't be considered much of a you wouldn't get much credit for that pick because they are the number one seed. But the thing with the Capitals is they do have this history of playoff disappointment. They've had plenty of seasons where they've gone in as favorites and either gone out early or gone out in some sort of heartbreaking fashion. They've had other seasons where they've gone into a series and taken a big lead and then collapsed. And it's kind of one of those teams where now the ghosts are haunting them a little bit, and even when things are going well, everyone's kind of waiting around for when the script gets flipped on them. And that could certainly happen this year. It's hard to pick a winner in today's NHL. Everyone's so close, but I feel like they've got a real good path.
Well, we're not too far off because I've got Washington against Montreal in the conference finals, and I actually have Montreal going into the Stanley Cup finals just because of that factor you said about Washington. I think maybe they might have a mental block once they get there. They'll obviously, I believe, face the Pittsburgh Penguins in the second round, and I think that'll go seven games, so they might beat each other up a bit more, and Montreal might actually sneak through, and Carey Price could carry this team all the way to the finals. So I think one of those two teams will go into the finals. And now let's move on to the Western Conference. And the first matchup I want to talk to you about is the Chicago Blackhawks against the Nashville Predators. I have this one in six for Chicago. How do you see it going?
You know what? I picked Chicago, and I picked them in seven. And in fact, not to get ahead of ourselves, I picked them to come out of the Western Conference as well. And they're the number one seed, home ice throughout the playoffs, or the first three rounds at least. And they're facing a wild card in Nashville. They finished well ahead of. But I got to say this, keep an eye on the Nashville Predators. Yeah. Sort of, you know, like I sort of half raised the caution flag with the Senators. I'm raising it all the way up with the Nashville Predators. This is absolutely a team that's better than their record. This is a team that matches up well against Chicago. If you're looking for a situation where you could see a number one seed get knocked out early, this is a scenario where I could see it happening. There's a part of me that wishes that I had the guts to just go that extra step and just pick the Predators and, sort of get my cards on the table. And I can't quite get there. And part of it's just, all the experience and success and history that the Blackhawks have had recently. It's just real tough to pick against them.
Yeah, well, a lot of people like the Nashville Predators. And I think if Pekka Rinne can play, stand on his head in goal, and obviously P.K. Subban can carry that back end, and obviously they could cause Chicago a lot of problems. The one thing that worries me with Chicago is their penalty kill. I think a penalty kill is very crucial to getting to the Stanley Cup playoff finals. And with the firepower that Chicago have, with obviously Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane, it's difficult to look past them. Plus that playoff experience, as we talked about earlier, is crucial. So for me, Chicago gets through. But a lot of people are high on Nashville, so I'm interested to see how this series works out, and I think it'll be a great one. Definitely go six or seven games. Now let's move on to the Minnesota Wild against the St. Louis Blues. This is a pretty even matchup, I would say. Once again, could go either way. Who do you pick on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a weird matchup because, a lot of us liked the St. Louis Blues a lot heading into the season, and then they sort of had a disappointing year for most of the year, up until the last month or two where they sort of got it together and made their playoff push. And the Wild, almost the polar opposite of that, that didn't have too much excitement heading in the season, played great for the first three or four months, were in fact in first place in the West and sort of staking out territory as cup favorites. And then they fell off over the last little while. And so they come in with not a ton of momentum. They won a few games at the end of the year, but not against particularly good opponents, not the sort of wins that would give you a ton of confidence going forward. This one, it does feel like a bit of a coin flip. It seems like the public opinion and the expert opinion is leaning towards Minnesota. I'm in there with them. I think I ended up picking the Wild in five or six games, just because the Blues just seem to have a lot of question marks. I mean, this is a team that They're just a few months removed from firing their coach. They're just a few months removed from trading one of their very best players at the trade deadline, which is something you don't do unless you feel like you're kind of throwing in the towel on the season. And yet here they are in the playoffs. They've certainly got a shot. I wouldn't call this a sure thing by any stretch, but I'm picking the Minnesota Wild, and I feel reasonably confident with it.
Yeah, I've got the Wild in six games as well, as hot as the Blues have been. I think winning 15 out of the last 19 games. The playoffs are a different story, and I think Bruce Boudreau has got a really solid team over there in Minnesota, and I see them going through in six. So we share that pick. Now, moving on to the next one before we leave the best to last is the Anaheim Ducks against the Calgary Flames. I think the Ducks will win this one in six. I like Calgary. I think they've got great upside, but the physicality of Anaheim is too much with Getzlaff and Kessler down the middle. I think they'll have a bit too much for Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you could probably take a lot of what I said about that Chicago-Nashville series on this one too, because I did end up picking the Ducks. I picked them in seven. You know, as far as underdogs go, I like the Flames here. I think they've got a real shot at this, and there's a piece of me that kind of wants to go out on that limb and pick them. And once again, I'm going to retreat a little bit and take the safer pick and take Anaheim. But, you know, I don't feel like Anaheim is quite at that same level as some of the other top contenders. I feel like they're a little bit vulnerable, and certainly they're going to be missing Cam Fowler at the start of the series, maybe for the entire series. And he's one of their best defensemen. He's a key player, and he got hurt, as it turns out, with a week to go in the season in a game against the Calgary Flames on sort of a questionable hit that was thrown. And so there's some bad blood in this series going in, which as a neutral observer is always kind of nice to see. It always adds a little spice to things that, when you got two teams that don't seem to like each other and these two don't. Yeah, at the end of the day, I'll pick Anaheim. The other thing that's kind of going on with this series, it's a little bit weird. The Calgary Flames have not beaten the Anaheim Ducks in Anaheim in something like 26 straight games. Like, wow. I think that streak goes back to 2004 or somewhere around there. It's just a completely ridiculous stretch where they just can't beat these guys in Anaheim. And that's bad news when you're starting on the road. They've got four games in Anaheim, so they're going to have to win one if they're going to have any hope of winning this series. And, you know, I don't put too much stock in streaks and stuff that goes back years and years where most of these guys weren't even in the league, but it's something to watch, if only just to see, you know, if things go bad early on, does that kind of get stuck in their heads and have them thinking that maybe there's something going on here and we can't get this done.
Now we get onto my favorite one. I've been waiting for days to talk about this series, especially with you, and we went to my Oilers. So I am feeling really good. I'm feeling really positive about the whole playoff experience. They're back in it after 10 years out of the playoffs. Now, I would please make me feel better and say you have the Oilers going in this one, because I have six, the Oilers going through in six. I hope it's not heart over head, but what are your thoughts on the Oilers Sharks?
I think you picked the right guy to come on your show then, because I'm not only am I picking the Oilers, I picked them in five. I feel better about my Oilers pick than almost just about any other one that I've made, and I think I'm higher on the Edmonton Oilers than maybe most seem to be. You know, I just feel like this is a real good team with the, you know, for now, we'll say second best player in the world. you know, some question marks. Absolutely. I mean, this is a team, you know, we talked about the Leafs making the jump. The Oilers have sort of had a similar experience. So it's, you know, they're not quite at that elite level where I think they're going to get, but they're not there right now. But they're healthy. They're going in with momentum. They're playing well. Things are clicking, and they've got a matchup against a Sharks team that is a good team and went to the Stanley Cup final last year, two wins shy of winning it all. But they're beat up. They're going to be missing some players. They're going to have some other players who may be in the lineup, you know, we don't know if they're going to be anywhere close to 100%. And this feels like two franchises just headed in opposite directions. The Oilers are the young guys on the way up. You know, they're good this year. They're going to be better and better as time goes on. And the Sharks just feel like an older team where the window is closing a little bit.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way. That obviously makes me feel even better than I was before. And as for the West, I have Chicago going through the West and meeting Montreal in the finals, Chicago winning the Stanley Cup finals. And who's your ultimate pick for this year's playoff?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to you for not picking Montreal to win the Stanley Cup.
Because no, I couldn't do that to you.
Especially after everything, all the nice things I just said about your team. You can't ruin. Please don't ruin.
We have a good relationship. We want to keep that going, so that's fine.
Yeah, no, I was getting nervous there. I've got Washington against Chicago, and I'm picking Washington Capitals. I just think this is the year. I think that it's all set up for them. As much as I sometimes have some fun with the topic, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in super. I don't believe that what happened at the Washington Capitals in 1992 has anything to do with what's going to happen in 2017. And I think this team top to bottom is the best team in the league. And I think they're all set up. And I think this is the year that they finally pull it off.
Well, let's see what happens, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on our show. It's been really exciting having you, and enjoy the playoffs. Well, now I'd like to move on to our second topic of the day, and I'd like to talk about the London Marathon. And on the 23rd of April, the streets of London will be taken over by thousands of people for the marathon, and we have double Olympic gold medalist James Cracknell joining us on our show. Hope I'm not interrupting any training for the marathon.
I'd like to say it's all done and dusted, but... any more now, as you know, is not going to make me go any faster, just make me more tired.
Good. Well, I'm glad we can give you a break. So the one of the first things I wanted to ask you was your training preparation. What do you do to prepare for a marathon? How is it different to what you used to do as a rower?
Well, I think especially in this country, you gravitate towards a sport that you can do. So to be honest, most sportsmen in Britain are failed footballers because you get identified so early if you can do it that you sort of just get channeled down there. Whereas if you're no good with the ball, you end up doing sports that require a good heart and lungs and no coordination, of which rowing is one of those. And I was pretty good at that. And then running, it does involve heart and lungs. So you get a good bit of pass over from the endurance side, but it doesn't help if you run like a caveman. So I guess it's a question of, I was very lucky when I was rowed that I didn't get injured that much. Whereas running, it's a combination of doing the training and staying injury free. But the big difference in terms of training, you get used to doing certain things. And we used to do lots and lots of long endurance sessions. And I took that into the first marathon I did. You just do what you're used to doing. And I transferred what I did in a boat to running, and that didn't really work. And so I realize now that the key ingredient is speed work. And that, you know, shorter interval training to get your speed up, because if you do all your training at the speed you want to run the marathon at, it's still going to feel quite fast. So I try and do, you know, interval training where I can, and unfortunately that means it's got to hurt, but hopefully the day of the marathon will be a bit easier because of that.
Well, no pain, no gain, as they say, so nothing good comes out without a little bit of pain. And I have a huge respect for you. I mean, you do rowing and do running, two things I'm not very good at, and you know, I get on the rowing machine, it kicks me off after every 1,000 meters, so I can't. The two of us really don't get along, so it's impressive what you do. And do you have a certain goal in mind for the marathon this year? What's your time? I know it's the fifth time you're doing it, so is there a certain goal you have for marathon this year?
Yeah, I'd like to run under 2 hours 50 minutes. I think that's the best time I can do without totally changing your life. You know, I did a, you know, sort of elite level sport for, you know, a good time, and that's when it is your, you know, your number one thing, your job, whereas, you know, marathon running is not my job. and so 250 would be the best I can do whilst having a normal life.
Well, that's great to hear. Yeah, I mean, if you can do anything at 3 hours, it's amazing. Just the fact that you can run a marathon is pretty impressive to me. So well done on you. And in terms of challenges faced, I know you've gone through a lot of training. What's the toughest challenge or toughest event you've been a part of over your time? I know you've done something like the Amundsen Omega 3 South Pole race, is that right? I mean, that sounds pretty crazy to me, who doesn't do much running. So what's been the toughest challenge for you?
I've done some endurance races, which actually the, you know, racing to the South Pole is more about problem solving. It's not every day is painful in terms of, if you're running 1500 meters, how much that would hurt, but it's more the fatigue. And then when things break, you have to mend them and you get lots of blisters. So it's more of a war of attrition. And I rode across the Atlantic. That was pretty hard. So we only slept. So we rode me and one other guy, and we did 2 hours on, 2 hours off for 50 days. So you're not getting that much sleep. And it's the first race I've done where you couldn't see the finish from the start, which made it that much mentally harder. But I think for me, and anything that is your goal is going to have that much pressure. I guess the Olympics, when you've got for our, in our race, it was 6 minutes long, pretty much. And those 6 minutes are going to determine whether the last 4 years have been a waste of time or not. You can get judged on one race. The pressure of having to get it right on the day you the day or the only day you can. I guess it's like taking a penalty to win the World Cup final.
Yeah, listen, I'm there with you. Every sport and every challenge brings its own pressure, so I can totally relate to that. And what mentally drives you to do these challenges? You know, what's your ambition with these, and what's your motivation with doing all these sorts of challenges?
If you ask the mates I used to race with, they'll say I retired too early. So there's some unfinished business somewhere inside my head. But I think, you know, with kids is that I think if you look after yourself in your 30s and your 40s, your body will look after you in your 50s and 60s. And that's when I kind of want my kid to go, you know, I'd like to ask dad to go on a bike ride or go on a run with me. And I think if I look after myself now, that'll be an option to make the most of life when I'm a bit older.
Well, that's a great perspective to have. And, you know, I'll make sure I'll try and follow that with my kids as well. So we'll see how that goes. And before I let you go, what's a charity you're supporting with the London Marathon?
I'm running for two. So I'm one's Headway, which is the Brain Injury Association. I was unlucky enough to get knocked off a bike in America. I was in a coma for a while, and then they really helped my wife and my family understand, you know, what a brain injury is like and how the recovery will be or could be or potentially won't be. And they help out so many families. And the other one is the RNLI, which is the lifeboats. And having spent a lot of time in the sea and by the sea, it's amazing the work they're doing. It's no government funding. It's all from fundraising.
Well, it's fantastic. And full credit to you for doing all this. And it's two amazing charities. And great respect, obviously, to you for coming back from such an injury and doing all these different challenges. And actually, my producer, Rachel, will be there on the day of the marathon. So she'll be there cheering you on.
I love going to see the marathon. It's like the best event in London because you get to see the best of humanity. If you go to like the end miles and you see people like collapsing and other people helping them and like, you know, everyone wears their name.
Yeah.
And so it's fun to pick a name out of the crowd and you'll see someone who's kind of really struggling and you start shouting their name and you can see them coming round a bit. I mean, that must be the case, James, when you're running. You feed off the crowd a lot.
It's so almost like the first 10 miles are free because it's such a different environment. And I think with the recent attacks in London and around Europe, I think it will be a slightly different atmosphere in a way of us showing that London is not afraid to celebrate itself and people be out on the streets and support people raising money. And the lesson I would say to anyone who's listening who is doing it is don't listen to anyone else on the morning of the race. First marathon I did, I was having a pee next to Elvis, he was dressed as. Which should give me a clue not to listen to him. But he goes, what time are you going for? And I told him, and he goes, well, the first 3 miles are free, they're downhill. Just really go for those. And I thought, that's quite good advice. So I went for the first 3 miles, and I saw Elvis collapse to 18. And I was thinking, I really shouldn't have listened to him because he didn't know what he was talking about.
Well, that's very good advice. And listen, the season of sports team will be there supporting you. Rachel will be there. So if you see a crazy woman on the sidelines cheering
crazy.
You on.
I want to know when you're going to be running at Asmir.
Well, I'm not a huge runner, Rachel. I have to say, I don't know. My body's made for running.
Do you know what?
Six
after James
seven.
Just talked to her, I don't think I ever want to do it.
Yeah, no, it's great. James, we wish you all the best on the day. Enjoy the experience, and we hope to speak to you again very soon.
It is time for the social media huddle, the part of the podcast where we put your questions that you have sent to Asmir to Asmir. Asmir, are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, these are all NHL related this week, which is great because you love talking about NHL. And the first question is from James Keir. James sent it in from our Facebook page. Thank you, James. And he says, with the NHL regular season almost over, who do you think will be lifting the Stanley Cup this year? How deep will your Oilers make it?
Well, that's a very good question, James. I have the two teams I have in the final will be the Montreal Canadiens and the Chicago Blackhawks. So I think that the East will be decided between Montreal and Washington. I like Montreal, the goalie, Carey Price. I can see him carrying that team all the way to the finals. As for the West, if Chicago gets through the first round matchup now against the Nashville Predators, I see them going through the finals and then ultimately being the winners, beating the Montreal Canadiens in the final. And as far as my Oilers are concerned, I'm super excited. I've had a fantastic year. I think they will get through the San Jose Sharks. I think the excitement of being in the playoffs, the home ice advantage, everything else, maybe the inexperience will be a little bit to the detriment, but I think they go through the first round, and then that's maybe where the experience factor will come in, because that's when I can see them running into obviously Anaheim potentially, or Chicago if they beat Anaheim and go into the conference finals. So I think that'll be a step too far for them, but it's been an amazing season. Great to have the playoffs. I know the excitement in Edmonton is off the charts, and good luck to them, and I'll be watching all the whole journey from start to the end.
Great. Thanks for your question, James. So the next one is from Linus. And Linus wants to know, what's your opinion on who will win the Calder Memorial Trophy, Austin Matthews or Patrick Laine? What is the Calder Memorial Trophy?
So the Calder Memorial Trophy is the best rookie of the NHL season, awarded to the best, obviously, young player that season. The NHL is blessed with very many young players, good young players every year through the draft. And this year, Austin Matthews and Patrick Laine have been the two standout performers. I will obviously go with Austin Matthews. He's transformed the Toronto Maple Leafs franchise from being the worst in the league to helping them get to the playoffs. He had a franchise rookie record of 40 goals, 69 points, and I think that goes a long way. So I'll give it to him. Patrick Laine has had a fantastic season for the Winnipeg Jets, and he's a close second, but Austin Matthews wins the trophy for me.
Okay, and Mac is in with our final question. Asmir, what do you think about the Vegas team, the Golden Knights?
Yeah, well, it kind of follows on from James's question. I'm interested regarding that team. It's, like I said, the first ever team in Vegas. It'll bring a lot of excitement. And good luck to them. They've got a lot of things to figure out. They've got to put a roster together. They've got the draft, the expansion draft coming through. So they've got to put as good of a team as they can together and obviously get a coach right, because I think this coaching hire is important, because this coach has to be with this team for the next few years. It's a process. You can't start an expansion franchise and expect to win right away. So this coach has to be around for a few years, and a lot of decisions for that franchise to make. But I'm really excited to see how pro sports works out in Las Vegas.
Okay, eyes on Vegas. That's it for all the questions. If you're sitting there thinking, how can I get a question to Asmir? You can tweet us at Season of Sports. You can tweet Asmir at Asmir1. Or go and find us on Facebook. Go and find our Facebook page, and we'll get questions from you there. But this is a special edition of the Social Media Huddle because, Asmir, you have some things to give away.
Absolutely. So as we're a new podcast, we want to obviously embrace our fans. Give a bit back, exactly. Reward them for their commitment to our podcast going forward. So we've decided to give away two signed shirts. One signed shirt for our Twitter followers and one signed shirt for our Facebook followers and the likes on there. So the winner of the shirt for the Twitter side of things is Dennis Husic. Dennis, we will contact you, direct message you, and get your details and make sure we get the shirt to you very soon. And Rachel, you have the Facebook winner.
I do. The Facebook winner is Josh Hunt. Josh, thank you so much for taking part and following our account and being involved with Season of Sports. Again, we will be in contact and get the shirt over to you. We will post photos of you with the shirts.
Absolutely. And this was very much a random...
Very random.
Random draw. So please don't hate us if you didn't get a shirt. We'll have a lot of giveaways going forward and a lot of fun things with us. So keep an eye on our social media pages. Well, this brings us to the end of the show. Rachel, it's been an absolutely fantastic show this week. Thank you very much for organizing everything.
Thank you, Asmir. I've enjoyed it.
I've really, really enjoyed it. Thank you to all my listeners for listening to our show. You can follow us on iTunes, Audioboom, or Spotify. And please, please leave a review. Good or bad, be honest. And we look forward to hearing from you guys. And we'll see you again in a couple weeks where we'll talk basketball. See you then.